I grew up in a household where my dad oftentimes would have a midnight snack. And I inherited that honestly. Now, I've tried to break that habit down through the years, and oftentimes I go to bed without having a 9 or 10 o'clock in the evening snack. But every once in a while, not every night, but every once in a while, the urge gets me. I start to get hungry, and here's the question. I'm really not sure what I'm hungry for, right? Have you ever had that? You know you're hungry, but you just don't know what it is that you're hungry for. And so what do? You make your way to the refrigerator, right? And you say, okay, I'm hungry for something, but I'm not sure what it is. Carrots. No, not carrots. Celery. No, not celery. An apple. No. I found it. This is what I'm really hungry for. Right? We do that, right? Every soul is hungry and needs to be fed. Every soul is hungry and needs to be fed. But oftentimes people, including us, feed a hungry soul with things that really don't satisfy. Isn't that right? And so people will, including us at times, will feed on material possessions and it doesn't satisfy. We'll feed on significant relationships, and that doesn't satisfy. We'll feed on athletic or academic accomplishments or work accomplishments, and that satisfies for a while. All these things satisfy for a while, but it really doesn't last. So we'll fill our mind and our brains and our bodies with continual entertainment, whether it's movies or books or television shows or watching games on TV, whatever it is, playing games on videos. And we find that those things really don't satisfy as well. So you know what the answer is. I ask you the question, what does every hungry soul need? And the Sunday school answer is, what? Jesus, right? But why? Why do we need Jesus Christ in our life? This text tells us in a powerful way why we need Jesus, who is the bread of life, in our life on a regular basis, and why he is the only soul food that really satisfies a hungry soul. John chapter 6 talks about Jesus feeding the 5,000 with a couple loaves of bread and some fish, an amazing miracle. And then Jesus walks on water, an amazing miracle. And then Jesus talks about our Old Testament reading where God fed the children of Israel with manna, bread that came down from heaven. And then he said this, and it's right before the words of our text, that he is the bread from heaven that satisfies the soul and gives life to the world. He is the bread from heaven that satisfies a hungry soul. Now, I can guarantee you, all of you know that. Every one of you know that. And you've come here and you say, I know that Jesus is the bread of life. I know he's the only thing that really satisfies a hungry soul. But my big question for you today is, why is that? What is it in our heart and life that is empty, that material possessions, significant relationships, academic or work progress or accomplishments, continual entertainment, why is it that those things really don't satisfy and only Jesus Christ does? And our text tells us powerfully. And this is where I encourage you to get out your outline. And we answer these questions. What every hungry soul needs. What is what every hungry soul needs? Here's the first one. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. John chapter 6, verse 38 says this, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Now I got to ask you, what was God's will? What is God's will, ultimate will for our life? That we would be his children, that we would be adopted into his family, that we would have a relationship with him. The problem was, however, our sin, that which we do and leave undone, that which we think that which we say and oftentimes leave unsaid, all those things that we do, that we carry out in everyday life, could separate us from God. As a matter of fact, before a person comes to know Jesus, those things do separate them from God. But this is the will of God, to take away that separation, to bridge that gap, to make restitution for sin. And the will of God was that Jesus would come to this world and remove that barrier of sin and unite us with God and make us at one with God. And how did Jesus do that? Through his holy, perfect, unblemished sacrifice on the cross. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, God and us were brought together, and our sins are not held against us. Our sins are forgiven. If you've come in here today and you are guilty about your sin and you feel badly about your wrongs and you wonder, can God still forgive somebody like me? The answer is yes. And the reason the answer is yes is because Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on that cross to put you one with God so that you have the unconditional love and forgiveness of God continually flowing into your life. When you're guilty, you're forgiven. When you're shameful, you're forgiven. When you feel alienated from God, you are forgiven. God declares you righteous in his sight through faith in Jesus Christ, and your sins are not held against you. How cool is that? This is what every hungry soul needs, a relationship with God, knowing our sins are not held against us, and we're at one, united, and reconciled to God. This is what we need. This is what people need. And we can try to satisfy a hungry soul with all the things I mentioned, and we find that we're still hungry. Right? Let me give you an example. I can remember when I graduated from the seminary, you know? And I said to my good friend, and I played a lot of golf back then, much like my kids. My boys play golf all the time. I was in love with golf. And I told this buddy of mine, when we retire, all we're going to do is play golf. That's all we're going to do. We'll do the ministry for 37, 38 years. We'll retire down in Florida, and we'll play golf every day. You know what I've discovered about golf? That doesn't satisfy the deepest yearning of every one of us. Any hobby, it's for enjoyment, it brings pleasure, but it doesn't satisfy the deepest yearning of a hungry soul. The yearning of purpose and peace. And only Jesus does that. We were washed and cleansed through the power of baptism. I think of a little 2-year-old boy, true story. He was baptized, not at this baptismal font, but a baptismal font actually in the south. And after he was baptized, he ran down the aisle and he said to his grandma, "Grandma, I'm all clean." Brothers and sisters in Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for you, you are all clean. That's what we need, badly, desperately. So forgiveness is the first thing we need, according to this text. That's why Jesus called himself the bread of life, and when we eat of that bread, we will never hunger again. I love it. Second thing we need is acceptance. Acceptance. To know that God will never cast us away from his presence, even though he knows about our sins and he knows about our wrongs. We can still come to him and find God's acceptance through faith in what Jesus has done. Look at John 6:37. It's in your outline. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. When you are broken by your sin, you come to Jesus Christ and you find God's acceptance. When you are shameful because of your sin, you come to Jesus Christ and you find God's unconditional love. When you're feeling sinful about your past, you come to Jesus Christ and you find total and complete forgiveness and acceptance. What people need is to know that God is for them. And the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things, including God's unconditional love and acceptance for us, despite our sin, despite our shame, despite our brokenness. When we are broken, we can come to Jesus Christ, and God the Father accepts us as his precious children. What happened on Friday afternoon at 80th and Sheridan is a travesty. It is horrible. And when we hear about things like that and they impact us so closely, do you know what it does to us? It saddens us. It grieves our hearts. We are surrounded by a world filled with bad news. But when you come to this place, do you not want to hear good news? And the good news is this: that God loved you so desperately, so incredibly, that he dispatched his own son to this world. For God so loved the world, so loved you and me, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. We are accepted by God through Christ. So these are the two things a hungry soul needs. Number one, forgiveness from God. Number two, acceptance in the eyes of God. This is why Jesus said, a hungry soul needs the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. A hungry soul that feeds on Christ, that believes in Jesus, will never be hungry again. And this is the third thing we need: eternal life. To know beyond the shadow of a doubt where we're going to go when we pass on. To know that there is a much better place that we will go to where all the problems of this world will all be dissipated and gone. A place where when we turn on the TV, won't be filled and racked with pain and heartache and disappointment and loss. I saw a bumper sticker the other day. I don't know if this was the name of a church, but it said N-O-T-W. Not of, you say it, this world. We're not of this world. You heard me say last week, we are sojourners, wayfarers, travelers here, headed to our final destination, in home with Jesus. And so many times we try to make this place our home. And we try to take away our pain with drugs or sex or alcohol or workaholism or whatever it is. And the pain and the emptiness and loneliness is still there. The void is still experienced. And the only thing that fills that void is, you say it, Jesus. I mean to tell you, nothing else satisfies. And I've said it 100 times here, and I'll say it again. When I'm despondent or depressed or feel bad or turn on the news and hear another horrible thing, I think about who I am in Christ, how God has blessed me with salvation, how I have life in his name, eternal life because of what he has done, and that gives me great joy. My soul drinks of the living water, the bread of life, Jesus Christ. And my soul was satisfied. You know what I mean? Can I get an amen? Amen. That's it. Look at what this text says. This is John 6:40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. I love that passage. I think what Jesus said in John chapter 3 when he said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Remember we talked about that story many months ago where the people of God were being bit by snakes and the snakes caused him to die and the people didn't know what to do and they came to Moses and they said, what do we do? And Moses said, God, what do we do? And God said, take a serpent, lift it up on a pole, and when people look at it, they'll be saved. They won't die anymore. Now Jesus makes that incredible jump in John chapter 3, and he says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that all who believe in him will have eternal life. Eternal life starts right now, by the way. You have it right now. And when you die, you're just changing your address. Right? And the address change is going to be a good one. It's going to be like going from tent camping to an 8,000 square foot mansion, okay? It is going to be wonderful. I heard a story recently about a 2-year-old little girl who went to her grandpa's funeral, and when his casket was being lowered into the ground, she sang over that casket the only song she knows, "Happy Birthday." In a way, she was singing the appropriate song because he was born unto eternal life in heaven. His eternal life began when he trusted in Christ. But then he changed address. He was in the glorious mansions above. He was face to face with Jesus. He was in a place where there's no more suffering, sorrow, shame, heartache, loneliness, disease, and death. He had what he needed. He had heaven. Living in the presence of Jesus forever, this is what every hungry soul needs. It is. We need Jesus desperately. Desperately. I know what you might be thinking. Well, I get it, Pastor. I get it. But why am I so often empty? You know what the answer is? It's because we're oftentimes trying to feed our souls with things that won't take our hunger away. With sex, or drugs, or alcohol, or workaholism, or material possessions, or significant relationships, or hobbies, whatever it is. You can fill that void, that God-shaped hole, with all this other stuff, and it simply doesn't fit. It just doesn't. I think of a young lady back in the 60s who sang this song, "What the World Needs Now Is Love, Sweet Love." But the Beatles sang in the 1960s, "All You Need Is Love." No. All we need is Jesus. Every time you hear the word, you're feeding on the bread of life. Every time you read the scriptures, you're feeding on the bread of life. Every time you think about the covenant that God made with you in your baptism, you're feeding on the bread of life. Every time you take the bread and wine, receiving the body and blood of Christ, you're feeding on the bread of life. Keep feeding. Today is Father's Day. Fathers, here's a challenge. Bring your children to God's house. Teach them the scriptures. Point them to Jesus continuously. Because he's the only entity in life that can satisfy a hungry soul. I think of a strong believer who had been persecuted and placed in prison overseas. He was in prison for months, and all they gave him was a bread and water diet. Every day, that's all he got was bread and water. And he received it without complaining, moaning, or arguing. He just received it with gratitude every day. And finally, one day, the man who was bringing him his bread and water every day said this, "How in the world can you be so positive? How can you say what you say? How can you just eat bread and water and not complain?" And this is what the individual said. He said, "I have bread, I have water, and I have Jesus. What more do I need?" And so it is with us. If you got a roof over your head, clothes on your back, food on the table, shelter from the storms, but most importantly, if you have Jesus Christ, you are rich. What does every hungry soul need? Need Jesus. His forgiveness, his acceptance, and his promise of eternal life.